All right, so we're on Daf Nundalet tonight. So if you remember in the previous Daf, you had the Mishnah yesterday, and you had the Mishnah also on Friday, Daf Nundalet and then Gimel. So let me mute everybody. Okay. So the Mishnah in yesterday's Daf said that in the Beis HaMikdash, they would blow the Chatzotrot. The Chatzotrot were different trumpets. So they would blow it not less than 21 days. So you never, we're on Nun Dalet tonight. 21 kolot, right? 21 kolot. Okay, what did I say? So 21 kolot. So it means that every day you have a Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and Levim sing a shir when the Nesachim are being poured on the Mizbeach. So when Levim are singing the shir, they would interrupt the shir three times. Do it kia true it kia. Kia true it kia. So it's 9 kolot. It's like a little bit like Rosh Hashanah, the minimum shear on a deraisa level to be yotze. And then everybody who would be there would bow down. They would all bow down. Okay, so that's 9 and 9 is 18, in addition to which they do 3 kolot when they open the doors. So it's 21 times. Okay? So every day of the year, 21 times. We start off with that. Then the Mishnah says that we'll talk about it, but it means on Shabbos as well. So then, every day of the year, 354 days a year, according to the Jewish calendar. Okay, so now, then there was never a day where they blew it more than 48 times. The Mishnah said, and the greatest amount of times they blew it 48 times was on Erev Shabbos and Sukkot. So Friday during Sukkot, they would blow it 48 times. How so? So they have the 21 times that they usually bring it. Then on a Friday, you also blow 6 times, in anticipation of Shabbos, so people stop doing work and things like that. That's 6 times. Then there were additional, Then there were an additional 9 times for the Musaf. So 9 times for the Musaf. So 6 and 9 is an additional 15. So 15 and 21, we're up to 36. And we're shooting for 48. Then they had an additional 12 that they would blow in terms of the Nisa Chamayim. There were 12 blowing, 12 kolot of the shofar with the Nisa Chamayim. And means that they would blow on the Shor HaElyon near Sharini Tanur, and we blow Shor HaTachton when they got to the floor of the Azara, and we blow 3 for the Miloi Mayim when the water came through the Shor HaMayim, another 3 Al Gabi Mizbeach in the Mizbeach. Okay, so it adds up to 48. So not less than 21, not more than 48. Okay, that's Ad Katan you had yesterday. Okay, let's go to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, line 4. Okay, so Erev Shabbat Shvatoch Chulei. So the Gemara says, "But you Lamala Asirit Lamala Asirit Lo Katani." So in the Mishnah earlier on Nun Aleph, it mentioned by the Nisa Chamayim, it mentioned that they would blow the shofar when they got to the 10th step of the 15 steps. So our Mishnah doesn't mention anything about the 10th step. But he says, so the Gemara says, Manitin Mani, according to whom does our Mishnah go? Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. Our Mishnah is like the Tanya Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. The Tanya, Shalosh Lamala Asirit. In the Brisa, the Tanna Kama says they would blow 3 times on the 10th step. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Meir Shloshal Gabi Mizbeach. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says they would blow 3 times Al Gabi Mizbeach. Rashi in the Girsa that Rashi has in the Mishnah is Shlosh Lig Gabi Mizbeach. He says 3 near the Mizbeach. So the way Rashi explains in the Mishnah, when they would put the Aravot on the side of the Mizbeach, they would blow 3 times. That's one way to understand it. Or the other way to understand it is when they would bring the water there, they would do it. So he says, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer Shalosh Al Gabi Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, so in other words, so it's coming out, it's like 6 and 1/2 dozen the other. So in other words, everybody agrees it's 48 times when your Erev Shabbos the Sukkot, but one holds that they had, in the 48 times, they had 3 kolot by the Mizbeach, which is the way a ton of our Mishnah on Nun Gimel describes it. Or the alternative, that's according to Reb Lezer, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. But the earlier Mishnah that said that they blew on the 10th step, that goes according to the Chachamim, who are mechulak with them. But they hold you didn't blow 3 times near the Mizbeach. So either you're blowing 3 times on the 10th step, or you're blowing 3 times near the Mizbeach, but it all adds up to 48. Right, 100% correct. Okay, So the Gemara says on line 8, Omer Lamala Sirit in Omer Gabi Mizbeach. Omer Gabi Mizbeach and Omer Lamala Sirit. So you hold one and you hold the other, but it all adds up. So the Gemara says, my time of the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. What's the reason for the time of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that we're going to blow Lagabi Mizbeach? So he says, came with the Taka of Tichat Sha'arim, Lamala Sirit Lamali Taka. He says, Hai Lav Sharhu. So he says, now he says they blew Tichat Sha'arim. I don't think it's Tichat Sha'arim. It means, I think, he means, because he means that they blew on the top, you know, when they were at the top of the steps, they blew at the bottom of the steps, and they blew near the Shar Hamayim when the water came through. So they're doing places that are, you know, like, in other words, when they were heading off to get the water, so on the top they blew, on the bottom they blew, when they bring the water back, they're blowing through the Shar Hamayim. So those are the places they felt, it's like, you know, most associated with this Mitzvah Nisuch Hamayim. But to blow on the 10th step, what's the 10th step? He says, Hilkach HaGav Mizbeach Adif. So therefore, that opinion holds, it's more significant to blow near the Mizbeach when they put the Aravot up, or if you say when they brought the water there. For Rabbanan Sabri, the Chachamim hold, even the Kaka L'milui Amayim, HaGav Mizbeach Lamali. Since they're already blowing from the Milui Amayim, in other words, they blow already when the water comes through the Shar Amayim. So that they did already. So he says, we don't need to blow again the Gabi Mizbeach. Now, if you say it's the way Rashi with the Aravot got nothing to do with Nisuch Hamayim. In other words, if they're blowing when they're putting their Aravot near the Mizbeach, that nothing really relates to Nisuch Hamayim. Hilchak Lamala Asirid Adit. So Rashi says, Lamala Asirid is just like a clearly demarcated place, Rashi says. If you look at the Rashi, he said, apparently, they had a story that there were 12 kolot with the Nisuch Hamayim, and Rashi says, it's around the 20th narrow line down in Rashi. The first word in line is Umala. Umala Siri Bishum Damakom Asim Ba'almahu, Leida Hechan Token Otam. And it was just like a clear point, a clear place where I could blow, and I'm doing it that way. All right, so everybody got it? So we're 48 kolot. Of the 48 kolot, 3 kolot are either on the 10th step, or take those 10 those out and knee of the Mizbeach. That's it. Any questions?
Could you tell us where you are?
Yeah, we're on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph 54A, and we're 750 this week, Ruth. I sent an email out. Okay, so we're on 20 lines down on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay.
Thank you.
That's it. It's. I don't know if it's after Nisuch Hamayim, but it's when they would remember with the Aravot. Remember they would go around the Mizbeach during Sukkot. And so then they would place the Aravot on the Tzidei HaMizbeach. So whether that took place before or after the Nisuch Hamayim, I'm not sure. But around it, yeah. Okay, so I'm going further in the Gemara. Everybody with me? Okay, so the Gemara says, Hiata Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Midaroma. When Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina came from the south, means he came from the south in Eretz Yisrael. Let me just... Okay, so Kiata Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Midaroma, when he came from the south, Aiti Manita Biada, he brought a brisa with him. So apparently the Chachamim were gathered in the south. I don't know who was like time persecution or whatever in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, so he says, so well, I don't think that's the pshat here. He says he brought a brisa with him. In other words, like, they didn't know all these different brises, and there they had a brisa, and he brought the brisa with him. You know, he says, and here's the brisa. So it says in Parsha Balotcha, the Chatzotrot are these trumpets that were made out of silver that they were blowing in the Beis Hamikdash. It says in Parsha Balotcha, say the Chashtei Chatzotrot Kesef. So they would blow it. So it says, Uvnei Aron HaKohanim Yitku'uba Chatzotrot. It says, Bnei Aron HaKohanim will blow the Chatzotrot. She'ein Tamal Omer Yitku. It doesn't have to say they should blow it. She'vor Nemor Utkatem HaChatzotrot Alotechem Yozotechem Shamechem. There's another pasuk that says you blow the chatzot throat for your olod and your korban shlamim. So why does it to repeat? You have to blow it twice. Hakol afi hamusafim tokim. So we don't understand what this means, but the Bryce says that everything based on the musafim you'll blow. We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says hu tani lava hu amar la. So he Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina taught this Bryce and he explained it. Here's what the explanation is. Lamar Shatokin al Kumusa Fumusa. He said the Brisa teaches me that I blow additional, you know, sounds, the Chatzotrot, for each Korban Musaf that happens. So every korban, and it was just like when the tamid shel shofar, I blew 9 times. Tamid shel ben arbayim, I blow 9 times. So for each korban musaf, you blow 9 times. So he's saying, let's say it's a day when it's more than one musaf. Let's say it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So I'll blow, and besides the korban of tamid, I'll blow another 9 times to the korban musaf Shabbos, another 9 to the korban the Rosh Chodesh. It means when you're blowing, the levim are singing the shir, the psalm of the day, or the psalm that's shaykh for that day, and they're doing the nesachim that are appropriate with it, the libations that go along with it, okay? So the Gemara says, now that's what Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina says. Now the Gemara at the end of today's daf, going into tomorrow, which I hope we get to today, is going to say that that's not correct. And Bryce doesn't mean that. But right now, that's what Rabbi Acha thinks it means. So the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions against Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. So it says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Erev Shabbat Shabbatoch HaChag, when it was the Friday of Sukkot, Hayusham Arba'im Shmona, there were 48 psalms of the Chatzotzrot. Now, if it's true that for every musaf you blow 9, so then there's another day when I have 48 kolot. So we said 21 kolot every day, that's a given. Then we have Shabbos. So if on Shabbos I have another, I have 9 kolot for musaf, and another 9 kolot for the musaf tiyantiv. That's another 18. So 18 and 21 would be 39. So how is it in 48? It's got to be 48. One second. What did I miss? Yeah. Then also, you have also the 12 with the nisuch ha'mayim. For the nisuch ha'mayim is now the 12. So if I have 12 and then I have 18, 12 and 18 is 30, right? 12 and 18 is 30, right? So I have 30 and I have 21, so I'm up to 51, right? So he says, so right. So it would come out. In other words, here the Mishnah says that there was no day where they blew the Chatzotzrot more than 48 times. But if Rav Acha bar Chanina is correct, there would have been a day. They're living after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina is Namora. But if he's correct that they would blow 9 kolot for each Musaf, then it should come out, that Shabbos of Sukkot, you should blow it 51 times. So again, so you have 21, that's every 21 is every day, which is 9 and 9 and 3 for the Petichat Sharim. Then you have another 12 for the Nisa Chamayim. That's 21 and 12 is 33, and then we have another 18, 9 for the Musaf of Shabbos, 9 for the Musaf of Sukkot. So if that's the case, then it should be up to 51. So since it doesn't say that, that doesn't sound like he's correct. That's the question. So the Gemara says, Amar Zera, Lefishain Token L'Pticha Charim B'Shabbat. So Zera deflects the question. He says, the reason we don't teach Shabbos of Sukkot that has more is because they wouldn't, this relates to what somebody asked me when they did it on Shabbos, who asked me, you did, right. So Rabbi Zera says they wouldn't blow for Petichat Sharim on Shabbat. Rabbi Zera says that when they would open the doors on Shabbos, they didn't blow the Chatzotzrot because the Chatzotzrot would involve a malacha that would either, you know, be, because it's clay shear, but, you know, if it's something necessary for the avoda, we wouldn't, but this they don't view as necessary for the avoda. So now we're down to 48. So that's Reb Zera's answer. Okay. So Amar Rava, man had lo chash lo kimcha. So Rava says, who's this person who's not like so careful about the flour he produces? It means this answer is got a lot of problems with it. And now I'm going to say what the problems are. Chada b'chol yom tanan. First, the Mishnah said, you say that they wouldn't blow for Pichat Sharim on Shabbat. But the first line in the Mishnah from yesterday's daf is, Ein pochtin mi esri b'chat ki b'mikdash, it says, and it says, b'chol yom, every day, the Mishnah says. You're saying not every day, but the Mishnah says every day. So I don't think you're correct that not blowing the 3 times of Shabbos. For Od, in addition to which, even assuming arguendo, like we like to say in law, even assuming arguendo that you are correct, Rabbi Zera, that it was 48, the Tana should teach me both. In other words, it says, so let's say they're equal. He says, Litni Shabbat Shabbatu Chachag. In other words, he not only teaches both. In other words, he wants to teach a day with 48 kolot. So instead of teaching me the Erev Shabbos Shabbat Tocha Chag was 48 kolot. According to Reb Zera, the Shabbos Shabbat Tocha Chag had 48 kolot. So if that's the case, the Tanna should teach me that case rather than the one on Friday. Why? The Shabbat means Tartiv, because then I'd be able to learn two dinim from that. From the fact that he teaches me that. Shamat mina de Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, I would deduce from it that the Tana holds like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, who says that there were three kolot by the Gabi Mizbeach as opposed to the 10th step, because he would enumerate it. So that we'll have. Right, that we have in both, but this is one we'd have as well. Shamat mina de Reb Acha bar Chanina, in addition to which, he'd be teaching me Reb Acha bar Chanina's halacha, which is every time when I have musaf, I blow 9, and if I have 2 musafs, I blow 18. And for every musaf, I blow a set of kolot. So he'd be doing more by teaching me Shabbos. If you know, it was Reb Zera, I don't think you're right that it was that they didn't blow. So I think it was 51, according to the way it's coming out. But even assuming it's 48, he should have taught me that day instead of the Erev Shabbos Chag. So again, so we have the question is reinstated. The question is, Reb Acha bar Chanina says that you blow, he says that the way he understands the Braisa, that you blow for every Musaf. So if you have 2 Musafs, you blow for 9 for one Musaf, you blow 9 for another Musaf. That's what he says. So we asked the question against him, how come the Mishnah doesn't mention it? Now we got problems. So Elamar Rava, Lefisha Ein Tokin, Lamilui Mayim B'Shabbat, Tabatri Tuva. So Rabbi says, no, the answer why he doesn't teach me Shabbos Tocha Chag is Shabbos Tocha Chag, they wouldn't blow any of the kolot that related to the Nisa Chamayim. In other words, the Nisa Chamayim, they wouldn't blow the kolot. In other words, they wouldn't blow the Chatzot Road on Shabbat, Shabbos Tocha Chag. In other words, they wouldn't blow the Chatzot Road at all. So it's 12 going down. So it's minus 12. So minus 12, it doesn't equal 51. It's bankrupted. Okay, so that's that. Okay. All right, everybody okay so far? Any questions? All right, so now the Gemara, 6 lines from the bottom, on then Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, V'lidi nami Rosh Hashanah shechal yom b'Shabbat, the Ika tlat musafin. So the Gemara says, look, so I have another question. If Reb Acha bar Chanina is correct, the Tana, he said there's no more than 48, fine. But this is another day that has 48 other than Erev Shabbos Shabbat Sukkot, and that would be on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yom B'Shabbat. If I have Rosh Hashanah, which coincides with Shabbos, so again, so every day I have 21. Now Rosh Hashanah, which coincides with Shabbos, I'll have 3 Musafs, right? Musaf for Shabbos, Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, and Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. So 3 times 9 is 27. So 21 and 27 is 48. So I have another day during the year when it's 48. So how come the Tana doesn't teach me that case? Everybody got this? Shai, are you with me? Okay. Wait. What do you mean say Musaf 3 times? Say again. For each Korban Musaf, there's going to be a shear, and during the shear, they're going to blow the Chatzot 3 times. Okay? All right. And then they're going to do the Nisach HaYayin at that time as well. Okay. So the Gemara says that Ika Tlak Musafin. Musaf Rosh Hashanah, 1 Musaf Rosh Hashanah, Musaf Rosh Chodesh, Musaf to Shabbat. So the question is, so if, that's only if Rabbi Acha bar Chanina is correct. If he's not correct, then on the question. So, but if he's correct, why doesn't Tana teach me that case? So the Gemara says, Erev Shabbat Shabbat Chag, it's Tzrich Lashminan to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So he says, the Tana wants to teach me, he could have taught me that case as well, or he could have taught me that case, but he prefers to teach me the case of Erev Shabbat Shabbat Chag, because he wants to teach me Reb Lezer ben Yaakov's halacha that they would blow the shofar near the Mizbeach as opposed to the 10th step. That's what he wants to teach me. So there he's going to take the Erev Shabbat Shabbat Tocha Chag. So the Gemara says, Atami kamar l'nihav l'nihav. Whoever said teach A and not B, we didn't say, you know, he should teach Erev Shabbat Shabbat Tocha Chag as opposed to Rosh Hashanah. He says, mi kamar l'nihav l'nihav, let him teach both. So fine, that's a nice limud. Let him teach the other limud as well. And then I'll also know Reb Acha bar Chanina's din that each Musaf adds on. So why not? So that's a big kasha now against Reb Acha bar Chanina. So the Gemara says Tana Bashir. So the Gemara says the Tana is not making an exhaustive list of every day with 48 kolot. He taught this case, and there are other cases that he's not teaching. Sometimes the Gemara has Tana Bashir. The Tana taught in one case and left all the cases out. Right. So So the Gemara says, now the klal is when it's, if you say Tana B'Shir, that he can't leave out just one case, because then he would teach that case. He's got to leave out at least two cases. So we only have one case that he left out. We have another case that he left out. So he says, Hatana B'Shir. So my Shir, the high Shir. So what else did he leave out that we could say that he left this out as well? So the Gemara says, Shir Erev HaPesach. So we think he left out Erev Pesach. Now, Erev Pesach was a big business time, a big you know, day in the Beis HaMikdash when everybody's bringing the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara learned from Pesachim, which we had, that they would bring the Korban Pesachim in three shifts. And in each shift, they would say the Hallel three times. So each time they would recite the Hallel, they would blow the shofar three times. So each time for each shift, I have nine kolot. So if it's nine kolot for each shift, three shifts is 27 kolot.
27.
And, okay, you're on the, it's Erev Pesach, and 21, you know, every day. So 21 and 27 is 48. So it's another day where I had 28 to 48 kolot in the Chatzotro. It says, so Erev HaPesach, so turn page, we're on the top line on the Dalet Amid Beis, 54B, the top line. Okay. Imishum Erev HaPesach, Klav Shirahu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that really doesn't cut it as a case that we're leaving out. That was a good candidate, but it doesn't cut it. Why? Da'amani Rabbi Yehuda, because we think our mission is following the Shita of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar, Mimeim Shal Kach Shlishi, Lo Yilamar Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem, Neshayu Amamu Atin. So the Gemara says, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he says that even though they have three shifts, the last shift, they never even completed the Hallel once. And there were so few people in the last shift, they only got up to Haftaki Yishma Hashem, and everybody brought his Korban Pesach. So in the last shift, they're not blowing the shofar nine times, blowing it three times. So it's nine, nine, and three is 21 times I'm blowing it, not 27 times.
Why is it three and not six? They're just missing one set of three.
No. Let's go again. We said that they would say Hallel three times. Each Hallel, they would blow the Chatzotro three times.
Right, so it's 27 per.
Last shift, they're not even completing Hallel once. So they're only blowing, okay? So yep. I have nine kolot from the first shift, nine kolot from the second shift, and three kolot from the last shift. So the Gemara says, our mission goes, so that's not a Shir, because our mission is following, we think, it's done in Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it could be following Rabbi Yehuda, so that wouldn't be a Shir. He says, so the Gemara says, now either Ha'ukimna or the Ha'amrit Resha, the Lok to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara in yesterday's staff said that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara said, remember, the Gemara said, what does he count as a kol? Is it Tkia through a Tkia, or is it just Tkia? So the our Mishnah, the Gemara said, is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So if it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, then we think we're okay. So, but the Gemara says, so if it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, so only Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said, again, Rabbi Yehuda is living after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. He's the only one who said the third shift never got past one recitation of Hallel. The Chachamim could be mechulek on him and said that it did. So then we're okay with that. But the Gemara says, V'dilma haitana sabar la kavati b'chada palig b'chada. So the Gemara, wait. If it's that they had it three times, with three recitations of Hallel, then that would be another case that's left over. And then Rabbi Yaakov Bar Kanina is good. Because we need Tana B'Shir. We need two cases that the Tana left out. So we had the Tana left out Rosh Hashanah, and he left out Erev Pesach. So then so now we said it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So we said not like Rabbi Yehuda. So it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, then we're cooking with fire. Then we're okay. It's not like Rabbi Yehuda, that means the Chachamim would hold that they did say 27 times, and indeed that's another case that was left out. All right, let's go over. Okay. Let's just listen. Okay, let's just listen. Let's absorb. Okay. So we said that the Tana of our Mishnah says we blow it 48 times. So the Tana said that gave us the case of an Arab Shabbos betoch Sukkot that we blow it 48 times. Then we said, well, why doesn't the Tana teach me Rosh Hashanah that coincides with the Shabbos would also be 48 times? So the Gemara says, Tana B'Shir, the Tana left out a case. So the Gemara said, what other case did the Tana leave out that we could, if we say Tana B'Shir, then Rabbi Acha is fine. So what other case did we leave out? So we said, we have the case he left out. He left out Erev Pesach. So now all our problems are solved. Left that Erev Pesach is also 48 times. But the Gemara says, yeah, but according to the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda, they never blew it 48 times on Erev Pesach. It was the third shift they never completed. So the Gemara says, but our Tana doesn't hold. It's not like going like Rabbi Yehuda. So if our Tana is not like going like Rabbi Yehuda, then all our problems are solved. So then the Gemara says, though, but Bedilma on line 5, Bedilma Hayatana Savalakabati Bechada Palag Bechada. Maybe the Tana does hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe he's Mechulik with him, the din you had in yesterday's Gemara about the number of kolot, but maybe he agrees with him about Pesach. Then we're in Gahak Tzuris. He says, Ela my Shir Da Hashir. So assuming all of that scenario, what other case did the Tana leave out that I could say Tana Bashir? Shir Erev Pesach Shchaliot Erev Shabbat. If Erev Pesach's on an Erev Shabbos, so then even if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so Erev Pesach's on an Erev Shabbos, so I only had 9, 9, and 3, right? 9 from the first set of the shift, 9 from the second shift, 3 from the third shift. So that's 21. But I have I pick up another 6 from the Erev Shabbos. You blow it 6 times on Erev Shabbos. So he says, Apik Shit Ayel Shit. So we're down 6 from what it would normally be if it was a full shift, but we're up 6 from that. So then you're right. Then it's Tana Bashir. Okay. So again, let's just summarize. So we said that Rav Acha Bar Chanina holds that every Musaf you have an additional 9 kolot, Bilchat Sotrot, and so it accumulates. And then the Gemara says, well, how come the Mishnah only mentions Erev Shabbos and B'toch Sukkot? They should have mentioned Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. It should also be that way. So the Gemara says Tana Bashir. The Tana left it out. But if it's not a Bashir, he's got to leave out another case. What's the other case he left out? So the other case he left out is a garden variety Erev Pesach, and he holds like the Chachamim that it was 3 complete shifts, and then all our problems were solved. Or even if he holds like the time of Rabbi Yehuda that the third shift was never a complete shift, he holds that the other case would be Erev Pesach that fell out on a Friday. Erev Pesach on a Friday, we have an additional 6 kolot to herald Shabbos. So even though I'm down 6, I'm up 6, and then it works out. All right. So, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. Let's see. Now we're not done with Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Now we're on line 8 on Nun Dalet Amud Beis. The Ein Mosifin Al Arba'im Ushmona. So the Tana of the Mishnah says we never have more than 48 kolot of the Chatzot Road in the Beis Hamikdash. So below, is that true? But Ika Erev Pesach Shechal Yop Shabbat. So the Gemara says when Erev Pesach coincides with Shabbos, we're going to have more than 48. How? The Ila Rabbi Yehuda Chamshin V'Chada. According to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it'll come out to be 51 kolot. Now you have Erev Pesach, which is on a Shabbos. That's like what we had this past Pesach, right? Erev Pesach was on a Shabbos. So wait. Now according to Rabbi Yehuda, so for the Korban of Pesach, I'm going to have an additional 21. Now, on Shabbos, I have 21 every day. Then for the Musaf of Shabbos, I have 9. So I'm up to 30. Then I'm going to have an additional 21 that were with the Korban of Pesach. So according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to have 51 kolot, right? He says, either Rabbanan, and according to the Chachamim, who are Mechulak with the Tan Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold it with 3 complete shifts, I'm going to have 57. So now we got problems. How do we understand the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, now this question really is not a question against Rav Acha Bar Chanina. It's just understand Pshat and Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ki Katani needed to eat the Bechol Shana. The Tana, when he taught 48, and that's the maximum, he's teaching something that happens every year. Not that it can't be that you have more in the Beis Hamikdash, because he could. But he's teaching something that occurs every year. So an Erev Shabbos and Sukkot, that happens every year. Erev HaPesach Shchalip HaShabbat, Leite B'chol Shana B'Shana Lo Ketani. So you're right. If it would be an Erev Pesach that comes out on a Shabbos, you're right. You would end up with 51 or 57. But since it doesn't happen every year, the Tana doesn't teach it to me. So the Gemara says, Atu Erev Shabbat Shabbatot Chachal Me'ite B'chol Shana. So the Gemara says, is it true that you would have an Erev Shabbos on Sukkot every year? Now, again, we're looking for an Erev Shabbos when I have the Nisa Chamayim. Would there be one every year? Well, one minute. He said, no, I'm looking for a Friday It's got to be an Erev Shabbos during Sukkot when I have Nisa Kamayim. Now, Lechor, a simple shot, I would say, yeah, because I have 7 days of Sukkot, so it's got to be. But the Gemara says, Zimnin lo mashkachet, sometimes you don't have it. How? The Hechidami, don't shakal Yom Tov Rishon be Erev Shabbat. If the first day of Yom Tov begins on a Friday, so when, on that day, we will not blow the shofar. We won't blow the shofar on the first day of Sukkot. Again, Nisa Kamayim begins on Motzei Yom Tov. The celebrations for Nisa Kamayim begin Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. They begin on the Motzei Yom Tov of Sukkot. Yeah. So the first day of Sukkot is on a Friday. So then you're not going to have a Friday going into a Friday where you have all the additional kolot with the Nisa Kamayim, because the first day of Yom Tov you're not going to do those kolot. Friday is Yom Tov. Not going to do the 12 kolot for the Nisa Chamayim. Because the Gemara says that they'd make the Tikkun Gadol on Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel. That's what the Mishnah said. They made all the celebrations beginning Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkot, following the first day of Sukkot. So, would be going into Chol HaMoed. In other words, the night of the Chol HaMoed is when they began doing the celebrations with the Nisa Chamayim. Yeah. And so it sounds like they didn't have musical accompaniment for the party. That's what it sounds like. The now let me just go back to the Mishnah. 1 second. And then please. Right. So the Mishnah says Nisa Kamayim Shiva. So the Nisa Kamayim took place 7 days during Sukkot, but all the celebrations didn't only began on the Motzei Yom Tov Rishon. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. So if that's the case, so then even the case the Mishnah gave is not something that would occur every year, because sometimes the first day of Yom Tov would come out on a Friday. Now, if the first day of Yom Tov is on a Friday, it would mean the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on a Friday. So with our luach, it can never occur. But the Gemara is saying that, you know, during the time of Beis Hamikdash, Kadesh Piriyah, that could happen. So the Gemara says, Kima Kalina Yom Tov Rishon Be'erev Shabbat, if the first day of Yom Tov was slated to begin on a Friday, the Bezdin would push it over, meaning the Bezdin would intercalate Elul. Elul has 29 days. The Bezdin would add another day to Elul so that it should not occur. In other words, the Bezdin, for policy considerations, which the Gemara is going to say, we don't want the first day of Yom Tov Sukkot to be on a Friday. So he says, my time, why not? He says, Kaven the Ikla Yom Tov Rishon Shalchad, Yop Erev Shabbat, if the first day of Sukkot is on a Friday, Yom Kippurim Eman Habi. When is Yom Kippur then? B'chad b'Shabbat. Yom Kippur would be on a Sunday. So he says, and this again, it'll explain. So Hilkach Dachinalei. So Rashi says, if Yom Kippur is on a Sunday, we're concerned. We don't want, like, unfortunately, people who pass away to hang, you know, the bodies to be hanging around for 2 days for Shabbos and Yom Kippur, where they're not being buried. We don't like that. And the second thing Rashi says is the vegetables that I want to cut for my post, you know, fast meal will be wilted by then. That's what Rashi says. So, okay. So therefore, for policy considerations, we would never do that. So again, let's go back. So we said, how come he doesn't mention Erev Pesach that's on a Shabbos, which is going to be either 51 or 57 kolot? So the Gemara says the Mishnah is only mentioning things that happen every year. And so so the Gemara says that Erev Shabbos of Sukkot happens every year. So the Gemara, is that true? When the first day of Yom Tov is on a Friday, then you wouldn't have 48 kolot that day, because the kolot with the Nisa Chamayim are only going to begin on Motzei Yom Tov, and so not on that Friday. So the Gemara says that indeed that would occur every year within an Erev Shabbos, because if Bezdin would see that the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkot was lined up to be on a Friday, they would add a date of Elul and it wouldn't occur that way.
How does that fit in with Lo Adu Rosh?
It fits in perfectly. That's exactly the same thing. But just 1 minute. So the Gemara says, let me just get to the two dots and then I'll pause, okay? So the Gemara says, do we really push off the day of Yom Tov? He says, Vatanan. Now the Gemara is going to prove that we don't push off the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkot, which in essence means we don't push off the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the same day as the first day of Sukkot. And Lo Adu Rosh means Lubav is Friday. So the first day of Rosh Hashanah is never on a Friday. That was the same thing. So he says, Gemara says, do we really push it off? Bahatnan, we learn in the Mishnah, that the chalavim means the fats and the evarim from the korban tamid shel bein harbayim, means if Yom Kippur would be on a Sunday, if Yom Kippur would be on a Sunday, which is gufo, the part that we're discussing, so the Mishnah says that the chalavim of Shabbos could be burnt on Yom Kippur. In other words, I have the korban tamid shel bein harbayim that I brought on Shabbat, but I didn't burn it all on the Mizbeach yet. So I could burn it on Yom Kippur, on going into the Yom Kippur, because Shabbos is a greater Kedusha than Yom Kippur. He says, and conversely, though, the chalavim of Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur is on a Friday, then I can't burn those fats on Shabbos. But Amar Reb Zera says, Ki Avinan Bei Rav Babel, Reb Zera said, when I was in Yeshiva in Babel, Ava Amri, I said, Hadatani Yom Kippurim Shchal Yod Erev Shabbat, Lo Yu Token, I said that when Yom Kippur comes on a Friday, they wouldn't do the six kolo to announce the advent of Shabbos. He says, Motzei Shabbat Lo Yom Adilin. And I said that when Yom Kippur would be on a Motzei Shabbat, when Yom Kippur would come out on a Sunday, he says they wouldn't recite Havdalah between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. In other words, I wouldn't have Havdalah in the Tefillah, and I wouldn't have Havdalah Kos. How you have Havdalah Kos? It's fasting, but you give it to a child or something like that. It wouldn't make Havdalah. I said everybody held that way. Now, the main point we're going to see here is that everybody, regardless of what the halacha is, the main point is that the Mishnayot and the statement are anticipating the Yom Kippur is coming on a Sunday. That's the main thing. We said it, they never would do it, but you see that they would do it. So I said that's according to everybody, what I just said about Yom Kippur. Now, there's a machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether we view Yom Kippur and Shabbos as having like equal levels of Kedusha, or Shabbos on a higher level of Kedusha. So Lo Yom Abdilin, because that in other words, we viewed it as like basically the same way. He sleeki lahatam, when I went made aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachti the Rabbi Huda Reb Shimon Pazi, and encountered Rabbi Huda, the son of Reb Shimon Pazi, 3 lines above where it gets wide on Nundal Adam Beis 54b, the Fiatiba Kamar, that he was sitting and said, Rabbi Akiva. That only goes according to the Tana Rabbi Akiva. he says, so, but anyway, the bottom line is, in other words, Rabbi Shaul and Rabbi Akiva have a machloket, whether Chelvei Shabbat can be offered on Yom Kippur. So if I say Chelvei Shabbat are offered on Yom Kippur, it means Shabbos is a higher level than Yom Kippur. If I say that it can't be offered, it's the same levels. That's machloket between Rabbi Shaul and Rabbi Akiva. So I said, everybody holds this about, that they wouldn't do the Tkiyah because it's the same level of Kedusha. And they wouldn't make Havdalah because it's the same level of Kedusha. So I said everybody holds that way. And when I got to Eretz Yisrael, they said that's Rabbi Akiva Shita. He says, but either way, the point being that you see that Yom Kippur would sometimes come out on a Sunday. That's the main thing. Or Friday. But the part of Sunday is what interests us, right? That's the part we... Yeah, but we were talking about Sunday because we're talking about the first day of Sukkot to be on a Friday. That's what interests us. So he says, so the Gemara says, Lo Kashra. So he says, there's no contradiction between the two statements. Harabanan ha'achayrim hi. In other words, the statement that it can't happen, that's according to Shita Chachamim. The statement that it could happen is like a achayrim, which is usually Reb Meir. The Tanya, we learned the Baraisa, achayrim omrim, ein bein atzeret la'atzeret, that between one Shavuos and next Shavuos, between Shavuos, you know, Tafshin Pei and Shavuos Tafshin Pei Aleph, they mean Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, Ela Arba Yimim Vad. Meaning, if 1 year Shavuos comes out on Sunday, the next year it's on a Thursday. If 1 year Rosh Hashanah is on, well, it can't come out on a Sunday, but if 1 year it would be on a Monday, according to the Shita, then the next year would come out on a Friday. It can't work out that way. But this is according to Achayrim. He says, in my Tashanam Uberet, and it was a leap year, coming to 5 days. Meaning, it's a hard and fast rule. So Achayrim holds, in Achinami, Yom Kippur could have come out on a Sunday. And Mamela, the first day of Sukkot, could come out on a Friday. That's according to Achayrim, which is usually Remeir. But the Chachamim hold, no, that they would never let this occur, because they would nip it in the bud, and then they leave it. So earlier when we said it would never occur, that's going according to the Shita of the Chachamim. All right? All right. So And our Mishnah is going Mistama like according to Shita Chachamim, and therefore the Mishnah only mentions the case of Erev Shabbat on Sukkot, okay? And we're not mentioning the other cases. All right, because it's only cases that happen every year. Okay, what you have, Fern, you had to ask something, want to ask me something? Fern? No, you're good? Everybody good? Okay. All right, we're doing well kind of in a hard time wise. All right, let's see further. Now we can go nice slower. Okay. Now, we're on the second wide line on Nundal and Amud Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, we're going back to Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina said that every time there's a Musaf, I have 9 kolot. So if I have 2 Musafs, I have 18 kolot. 3 Musafs, 27 kolot. And because there's a special shear for each one, and there's definitely a Nisachim for each one, and then there would be kolot or the chatzotzot for each one as well. And when they're doing the kolot, they would interrupt 3 times, and everybody would bow down. Okay, so now we're going to ask kashas against them and take them down, and it's not going to be that there would be 9 kolot for each one. Okay, all right. So now Meifei, Rosh Chodesh Shechal Yom B'Shabbat. Now when Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat coincide, now Rosh Chodesh is the day with Musaf and Shabbos is the day with Musaf. Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh Docha Shir Shal Shabbat. The Tana of the Braisa says that the Shir of Rosh Chodesh, there was a parak in Hillel they would recite on Rosh Chodesh, that parak is Docha the Shir Shal Shabbat. It pushes away the Shir of Shabbos. Right. So, and if we have time, we'll talk about that as well. But the point being, if I read the Pshat and the Braisa correctly, it's just you're going to have one Shir. Only the Levim are only going to sing one shear. They're only singing one shear, and there's only going to be 9 kolot because the one shear pushed away the other shear. V'ita lema the Shabbat from lema the Rosh Chodesh. But if Rabbi Acha bar Chanina is correct, so the Tan of the Braisa should say that they're going to sing both and do the kolot during both. But if they're only singing one, there's only going to be one set of kolot. Okay, we got a silence. Okay, so Amar of Safra. So Rav Safra deflects the question. Amar Rav Safra, my docha, what does the Tana mean when it's docha? It doesn't mean they're not going to say Shabbos, docha l'kadein. It means in terms of priority. We're going to say both, but we're going to do the Rosh Chodesh first, and then we're going to do Shabbos. Somewhat counterintuitively. I would think Shabbos is greater Kedusha, which it is, than Rosh Chodesh, but the Tana of the Braisa says I'm going to do Rosh Chodesh first. Why should it be that case? It should be the opposite. If I'm going to have 2 things to do, so the klal is, which you know in Gemara Masechet Tzvachim, tadir v'shino tadir tadir kodem. The more frequent one we do first. So if I have A and B to do, and A is more frequently, like Shabbos every week, Rosh Chodesh once a month, so I should do the Rosh Shabbos first. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what? Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. You mean, right, okay, in benching you're talking about. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says the reason that the Levim would sing the Shir for Rosh Chodesh first is to advertise that Rosh Chodesh has been declared, that the Beis Din has declared Rosh Chodesh. We want everybody to know about that. He says, that's that answer, okay? All right, now let me read a few more lines and we'll pause. So the Gemara says, V'hai Hekera Avinon, Hakira Achrit Avinon. That's the heker, that's the advertisement that is Rosh Chodesh. But there's a different heker we do, a different way we advertise Rosh Chodesh. He says that one side, he says, that not, because we learn the Mishnah in Mistechet Shkalim. Chalvei Tanit Shal Shachar, the Chalavim. Here, the Chalavim doesn't mean the fat, it means the fats, but it means the fats, Evarim, everything that's burnt on his Beah. Because the Korban Tamid is the Korban Ola, everything is burnt. So, Chalvei Tanit Shal Shachar, Nitanim Nechatzi Kevish Ulamata. Now, here we're organizing the limbs for the different korbanot. So there's a sequence which the Gemara goes through in Yomim, right? Remember, second Yomim, we learned about the kohanim, how many kohanim were necessary to place all the limbs on the mizbeah. So they're going to place the limbs sort of like in a holding station before we put it on the mizbeah. So. But we have the Korban Tamid, we got the Korban Musaf Shabbos, and we got the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. They're each going to get a spot on the Mizbeah. So the Tana Mishnah says, Chelvei Tamid Shachar Nihim Nechatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Mizra. So the Tamid Shachar, those limbs are going to be placed on the ramp, and it's going to be placed in the lower half on the eastern side of the ramp. The ramp goes from south to north. So the lower half on the eastern side, the Shamusafim Nitanim Mechati Kebeshulamata B'Marab. And the Korban Musaf of Shabbos, we're going to put on the lower half of the ramp, but on the western side of it. Now, again, this is below like the 50, in other words, the ramp is 32 amot. So it's below the 16 amot line. So they're all below the, before you get to 16 amot. Bishol Rosh Chodesh, the limbs from Rosh Chodesh, Nithanim Takat Karkova Mizbeach. And the Karkova Mizbeach is the walkway of the Mizbeach, but it means the walkway of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was 9 amot high from floor to ceiling. And the Karkov is the Sovei. The Sovei was 6 amot high. So it's two-thirds away, but it means on the ramp, below the two-thirds mark on the ramp, he says, Ulamata. So it means that the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar and the Korban Musaf of Shabbos is going to be below the 50-yard line. And the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is going to be higher than the 50-yard line, above the halfway mark, between the halfway mark and the two-thirds mark. So he says, okay, he's got a picture. Wait 1 second. Minhaman Aleph. But I'm a Reb Yochanan. So why is it that the most prominent spot is given for Rosh Chodesh? But I'm a Reb Yochanan. Rosh Chodesh Mizbano. Reb Yochanan says we want to advertise to people that Rosh Chodesh has been declared in its proper time. So if I have that hecker, what do we need the other hecker for? Why do we need the other hecker to, sing the shir of Rosh Chodesh before the shir of Shabbos? The Gemara says, Trei Heker Rav Dinan. He says, we make two hekers. He says, the Chazi high Chazi. The one who sees this one sees that one. The Chazi behind Chazi. The other one, you see the other one. You know, the more the merrier. Okay, so again, so let's just summarize, and then we'll take some questions. So we're still working with Rabakha Bar Chanina. Rabakha Bar Chanina says, every Korban Musaf, you add 9 kolot of the Chatzotro, and you're doing it when they're singing the Shir. And the Levim are interrupting 3 times during the Shir. So we quoted a Brisa. We said that when Rosh Chodesh coincides with Shabbos, we're Doche Shal Shabbos, and we only do Rosh Chodesh, the Shir. So that sounds like we're not saying the Shir Shal Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Akiva Bar Chanina, that if it's the only way you can do the Kol is with the Shir. So the Gemara tries to tie it up and says, no, what it means is Doche, according to Rav Safra, it means in terms of priority. We're going to give priority to the one of Rosh Chodesh over the one of Shabbos. And why do we give them priority to Rosh Chodesh? Because we want to advertise that today's Rosh Chodesh. So that's the advertisement. We have another advertisement where the limbs are. So we got 2 advertisements. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? I don't know. No. The Mishnah says it's coming up in Masechet Beah. Next Masechta says Hayu Masi and Masuot. They put fires on top of the hills to notify the people, to communicate to people that Rosh Chodesh. But here we're talking about it, today. They just declared it. In other words, let's say it's Shabbos and it's Rosh Chodesh. So the Adim saw the moon last night, and the Bez declared that today is Rosh Chodesh. So it was that's the here and now. Okay. All right, let's go further, and if we have more time, I'll come back to this thing about Rosh Chodesh Shabbos, which relates to Dinim and Kedima and things like that, okay? So let's look at Nun and Hayam and Aleph. We're going to get into tomorrow's off because I want to get a jump on the CM for Wednesday night, okay? So we're on line 3. So again, we're dealing with Reb Akiva Bar Chanina, who says that every Musaf gets its own kolot. So if you get more and more Musaf, they keep, accumulating. So Meitfei, now the Gemara is going to ask questions, and this is going to be the nail or the nails in the coffin for Rabbi Akiva Bar Chanina. But now he's not going to be so good. So Meitfei, the Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel. So we ask Tasha because Rabbi Bar Shmuel taught the following brisa. It says, Yechol k'shem shetokin al Shabbat b'tnei atzmo, v'al Rosh Chodesh b'tnei atzmo. I might have thought that just like they have kiyot, means they blow the chatzotot for Shabbos when it's just Shabbos, and when it's Rosh Chodesh, they just blow it for that. He says, "Kachu token al kol musaf u'musaf." I might have thought that if I have days where they're the same day, that I'll blow for each one, like Rav Akiva Bar Chanina said. Tamalomar uvrashay chod shechem. So the pasuk is uvrashay chod shechem. I will explain the limud in a minute, but it basically teaches me not that way. So tiyufta Rav Acha tiyufta. So Rav Acha is all up gishlag. So the Gemara says, "My tamud. What's the limud? What does the brisa mean? Tamalomar uvrashay chod shechem." Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, Uvrashay Chod Shechem, plural. Your Rosh Chodeshes. So all Rosh Chodeshes are hukash, are compared one to another, meaning I'm going to blow the same number of kolot on every Rosh Chodesh, whether it's a plain Rosh Chodesh, whether it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or whether it's Rosh Hashanah, which is the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. In other words, I'll only have 9 extra kolot on all of those days. That's lima. Okay, not like Rav Acha Bar Chanina said. He says, Rav Ashi Amar, that's one way to understand the Braisa. Rav Ashi Amar, has the same conclusion, but he understands the Braisa differently. Rav Ashi Amar, k'tiv chod sheichem, u'k'tiv u'vrashay. So it says, chod sheichem is spelled chaser, without the extra yud. So he says, and it says u'vrashay. So he says, v'eza chodesh lo shnei u'vrashim. In other words, it sounds like u'vrashay chod sheichem. In other words, when you have a Rosh Chodesh that's got two Roshes in it, it was you have Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. It was I have a Rosh Chodesh, there's two Roshes there. So he says, Heavy Omer is a Rosh Hashanah. But Amar Rahmana, Chod Sheichem Chani. It says, Chod Sheichem, you have one, it's like one day. So you have one day with the kolot. Okay. So the point is that this first Braisa is one nail in the coffin for Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Rav Acha Bar Chanina says that they accumulate. And this Braisa says you don't accumulate. You just give 9 kolot and that's it. Okay. Now, Ba'od Tanya, now another nail in his coffin, we learn another Braisa. B'chol Shel Moed. Now, on each day of Chol Moed of Sukkot, there's a special shir that they would sing in the base of Mikdash. B'chol Shel Moed, B'rishon Ma'ayu Omrim, what would they sing on the first day of Chol Moed? Havu L'Hashem B'nei Elim. So Rashi says, let's see the Rashi, it's around the 10th line of Rashi, So this is the first day. The first day of Chol Moed is the first day of Simchat Beit HaShoiva, the big celebrations with Simchat Beit HaShoiva, and there are references in this Mizmor which we sing when we put the Sefer Torah back in the Aron on Shabbat. He says, you know, Kol Hashem Alamayim, that are referenced in Nisuch Hamayim, and he says that it all relates to like the first day that about the Nisuch HaMayim. And now, back in the Gemara, the Sheni Mayu Omrim, on the second day of Chol HaMoed, when it says Omrim, means what would Levim sing? It says, the Sheni Mayu Omrim, L'Rasha Amar Elokim. So it's Pasuk from Tilim Perek Nun, Rasha Amar Elokim. So Rashi says around the 20th narrow line, it says, V'Chol HaMizmor Divrei Kibush in Helen Esafim Lazar, Elam Esafim Lazar, Elam Esafim In other words, it's like it's words of rebuke. In other words, if you don't do tshuva, what are you doing here? So it's about offering korbanot because, like Sukkot is zman bal ta'acher, the shloshu regalim kisidram. In other words, like there's if a person has a neder to bring a korban, he has to fill it within 3 regalim. So he's learning again. Remember in Rosh Hashanah, we did Rosh Hashanah already, right? Or not? Oh, so but in Rosh Hashanah, so the Gemara has machlokot code. How you calculate the 3 regalim? So one opinion is I just do it whenever I made the neder, then I go 3 regalim from there. Another holds that it goes by the luach, and in other words, like by that Sukkot, I have to fill it. And anyway, so he says like this. So that's the second day. What would they sing on the third day of Chol Moed? Who will rise against me, against the evildoers? So Rashi says, it's speaking around 6 lines above where it gets wide, speaking about the tzaros, that they were meshubat, subordinated in the Bayit Sheni, the Malchi Paras, the Persian kings, Malchi Yavan, the Hellenistic kings, and Malchi Romi, the Roman rulers, and nevertheless they would celebrate. So it says, like, Mia Kumli Miriam, who will rise against me, against the evildoers, meaning against this government? And he says, then it says, Lulei Hashem is Rakli, Kimat Shafna Duma Nafshi. This is like, he says, even according to our tsaros, so like, in other words, despite all our tsaros, we're still celebrating. That's the idea. Okay, Barabi, Mahayu Omrim, what would they say on the fourth day of Chol Moed? And this is in the same parak in Tehillim. binu borim ba'am, like the borim, like the boors, the foolish, the ignorant people should have understanding. So Rashi says binu borim ba'am. He says, yeah, on the second white line, because now is the time of matanot aniyim. Now is the time to give the gift to the poor people. It's the zman ha'asif, the harvest season. You have lekat shicha and peya and maser ani. And then when the last days come, they're closing to go back to home. So they read this, that it's like tochicha, that they should give maasers that are appropriate. And even though maasers are given like privately, and person shouldn't say who sees us, who'll know about it. Binu borim ba'am. In other words, like the people who are ignorant should understand, you know, who's going to tell them, anota ozen alo yishma, yim seren alo yibit. In other words, you should give those manot aniyim, because Hashem knows, you know, your secrets. Okay? That's one of our Shir Shal Yom, one of the day. Okay, now back in the Gemara. B'chamishim ayu omrim, what would they say on the fifth day of Chol HaMoed? Hasiroti misevel shechmo. Hasil shechmo, he says, it's like, again, it's like comfort for them. He says, if he says that they're judged for the water on Sukkot, so from Mizmor, in other words, that Hashem should give us a bracha at a time that we're being judged for water. But Shishi Mayu Omrim, what would they say on the sixth day, which is Hoshana Rabbah, because it's the sixth day of Chol HaMoed, so it's Hoshana Rabbah, Yimotu Kul Mos Dayaretz, like let the foundations of the world be, you know, be shaken. So he says, it also relates to the you should do the right thing by the poor person and the master. Okay, now, then the Gemara says, Shabbos is one of the days, so Yimot is pushed away. Okay, now, Rav Safra, Marach Buhu Simanas. Rav Safra gave a siman to remember the order, the sequence, that's Hombahi. Hombahi is the first letter of each one of these psukim. You know, Havu is Hey, and Vav is Udrasha, and Mem is Miyakumli, and then the Beis is Binu Borim Ba'am, and the Hey is Hasiroti, and the Yud is Yimotu. Rav Papa, Marach Buhu Simana, Hom Habi. Rav Papa felt that the third and the fourth days, and again, it's the same parak in Tehillim, but in the first order, the last part was taught first, and he flips it over. Okay, b'simanach, the siman to remember who said what is, amboah d'safrei. Amboah d'safrei is an expression, it means like the line outside the teachers, you know, like the people like march the troops, the parents with their kids, outside the teachers, you know, where he's teaching. So safrei is like Rav Safra, and amboha is a lot like hombahi. All right. Anyway, but the point being of all of this, So on Chol HaMoed, so again, Rav Acha Bar Chanina said, Right. So in this braisa, it said that if it comes out on Shabbos, Yimotu Yidacha. We're not going to read the Shir for Sukkot. And when you sing the Shir during the Korban Musaf, that's when you sing the Shir. But if it falls out on Shabbos, we're not going to sing the Shir for Sukkot. So that doesn't sound good for Rabbi Acha, right? Rabbi Acha, each Shir, and then I have the kolot. No Shir, no kolot. So he says it's Yidacha. So I have two prices now against Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. So Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, so Tiyufta Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. So he's all up Gishlak. So he's history. He's not correct. So in other words, so we're only going to have, it sounds like we have multiple musafs, one shear. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara says, how could that be? But on Nun Dalan Amin Aleph, he quoted a brisa that we thought was it. Remember the brisa said, there was an extra yit ku'u, and the darshanel from there, hakolafi hamusafim token. And the way he understood it, it's like every musaf gets its own kolot. So Amravina Lomar Shema Arichin B'Tkiot. So Ravina says it means that they would blow the tkiot longer, and the tkiot would last like through the both korbanot. but not that they would but have like separate kolot. Rabbanan de Kesari mishmei Rabba Acha ami lamar shemar bebetoken. Then the chachamim in Kesari. Then Rabba Acha, and it means that they would have multiple people blowing the chatzos throat. So in other words, when the Brisa, earlier Brisa said that hakolafiyam musafim, that it's all based on musafim, we thought it meant that each musaf you're going to get kolot. No, it means the fiyam musafim, either I'm going to have long kolot, and during the long kolot I'll do two wine libations. In other words, so in afinami levim we'll sing one shir, but I'll do two wine libations during it. It'll be long kolot. Or the other pshat is I'll have, instead of you know, five people blowing chatzot throat, I'll have 10 people blowing chatzot throat, because it's because they got two musafs, but not that there's more kolo. That's the way it goes. All right, any questions, comments, to listen, anything we did so far? All right, let me just do one more piece, and I think that will be it for tonight. Okay, 1 second. Okay, now again, tomorrow we're going to be at 10 to 8 again, and then I think hopefully we'll be in good shape. I want to be in like towards positions. No, we're not finishing it tomorrow. We're going to finish on Wednesday night, and we know there's going to be a scheme. I'll discuss with you with some details. We have somebody who wanted to bring some food, so we'll have see what's doing. All right, let me just do a piece from this. Now, the Mishnah in Tamid says that each day of the week, Levim would sing a different psalm during their Nisachim, the daily Tamid. Days on which there was the Musaf, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yantiv, they sang a special psalm during the Korban Musaf. The Braisa on Nedarim Beis says that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, the Rosh Chodesh song takes precedence over the Shabbos song. So Rav Safra explains that the Braisa does not mean they sang only the Rosh Chodesh song, rather it means that they sang the Rosh Chodesh song before the Shabbos song. Now, based on the Maskana, it sounds like indeed the Pshuto is that they just sang the Rosh Chodesh song. That's the way it sounds like. You said by Yimotu, they're only doing Yimotu, but that's the way we move over there. So the Gemara questions why the Shabbos song was not sung first, since it's more Tadir Vishno Tadir. Yochanan says the Rosh Chodesh song is given precedence because it is important to publicize the Rosh Chodesh. Fine. Now, the authorities question which Haftorah should be read when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos Chanukah. So I have Shabbos, there's always a Rosh Chodesh during Chanukah. So let's say Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh Teveit. Rosh Chodesh Teveit. So when Rosh Chodesh Teveit falls out, you know, there's only a few times in the year you have three separate Torah. And actually, it's only four times in the year that when three Sefer Torah are necessary. Apiyah Lacha. What are the four times a year when three Sefer Torah are necessary? Yeah, but what do we call that? What is it called? Right. So Parshat Chodesh. What Parshat is that? Right. Okay, so Shkal and Rosh Chodesh and HaKodesh when that's on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, and then Chanukah, right? So Chanukah also, I could have one in Rosh Chodesh, is three. And then Simchas Torah. So in Simchas Torah means, I don't mean that you take, it doesn't mean that like you're taking out all the Sifrei Torah, but it means I need three Sifrei Torah to do the davening properly. That's what it means. Okay, so all right, now, so now let's say it's Rosh Chodesh. Now it's Rosh Chodesh Shabbos Chanukah. Okay, let's all focus because we only have another minute or two, and hopefully we'll have a minute. Okay, so Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, I called a lot of people. So let's say it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. So which Haftorah do I do? Do I do the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh or the Haftorah for Chanukah? Well, the Mordechai cites Rabbeinu Shmuel, who rules the name of his father, Rabbeinu David, that the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh should be read rather than Chanukah Haftorah, which is Rani B'Simchi. We do Rani B'Simchi. He says it should be, his father said, this is the Mordechai's father said it should be Rosh Chodesh. He argues, since Rosh Chodesh occurs more frequently than Chanukah, we apply the rule to the year Kodem. That's what he thought. The Tosfos Rid proves from our Gemara that the rule, so in other words, the issue here is when I say Tadir Kodem, is Tadir Vishnu Tadir, is that only when I'm doing both of them, Tadir's Kodem? Or even when I'm only doing one of them, Tadir's Kodem? That's the issue, okay? So he says, Tosfos Rid proves from our Gemara, the rule of Tadir Kodem applies only in situations one is able to perform both mitzvahs, and there is merely the question of sequence. The rule is that the more frequent mitzvahs performed before less frequent mitzvah. However, in a situation in which one is forced to choose one mitzvah and then on the other, this is the above case where the dilemma is which Haftorah to read and which to omit. The rule of Tadir Kodem does not apply. On the contrary, the purpose is given to Chanukah Haftorah is more unique. So in other words, so So let's see now. Now, according to the original understanding of the Braisa, before Rav Safra explained otherwise, the Gemara thought that only Rosh Chodesh Sam is recited. We had Rosh Chodesh, we had Shabbos, we thought we're only reading Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara indicates it is not disturbed by the fact that only Rosh Chodesh Sam is recited, even though Shabbos is more frequent than Rosh Chodesh. In other words, when the Gemara thought, I'm only going to read the Shir one day, so the Gemara was not bothered by the fact that Rosh Chodesh is less tardy than Shabbos. If I'm only reading one, we're okay with it. So he says the Gemara conspicuously waits until after Rav Safra's assertion is introduced. Rav Safra said, Rav Safra says that they sang both. So he says, after why Shabbos, which is Tadir. In other words, we only got into Tadir when we were doing both. When we're doing one, we're not introducing Tadir. Apparently, argues Tosfos Rid, we more understood that in a situation where only one mitzvah is performed, the rule of Tadir Kodem is not applicable. Okay, now he quotes, he says Tosfos Rid, see the Tosfos who holds contrary to Tosfos Rid, the rule of Tadir Kodem is applicable even when it's only one mitzvah or another. Okay, that's going to be it tonight. Let me just end the recording, okay? That's usually where we would go. Okay, 1:10.